Okay, I would like to conclude the minug of Simani Milsa today. I want to run through very quickly a collection of ideas that would like to conclude the minhag of Simana Milsa. On Rosh Hashanah, we do different things to serve as a good omen for the coming year. And I've extracted everything from this wonderful sefer called Pardes Eliezer, a very large section on Simana Milsa. We've done half yesterday, and today I want to do the second half. What I say is just a drop of what it says. A lot of the things here are very esoteric, Kabbalistic. I just tell you the things that I understand. I'm able to figure out. All the other things I leave out. Okay, the things I'm going to tell you are not in any particular order, so we'll just jump around. These are the things I was able to extract as I went to the Sefer. A gematria. As you all know, I'm not a big fan of gematrias, but some are very good. The gematria of devash, of honey. We're continuing our discussion of eating honey. We mentioned yesterday that the real minug is not to dip the apple in the honey, or to, I shouldn't say that. We dip the apple in honey, that is a minug, but not necessarily to dip the challah in the honey. The ikra minug appears to have been to eat honey, just to eat honey alone. Like Yoinasan, what?
Raw honey.
Like Yoinasan was in the field, the battle, and he ate the Yaros Devash. He was unaware that his father instructed, and he made his soldiers take a shvur that no one should eat during the war, during the battle. It should serve as a schus to win in the Muhammad. And Yoinasan was not present at that point in time when the instructions were given, and he ate from the honeycombs the Yaros Devash. He just ate raw honey. That is the minute. Devash is Begematria Noach plus Avram. Noach is 58, Avram is 218. 218 plus 58 is 306. And Devash is exactly 306. So what's the significance? Well, if you look in the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, these are the two major biblical figures in our Tefillahs. The Gam is Noach, the Ahava Zacharta. And we say the pasuk, Noach. Today's Rosh Hashanah is Hayoim Haras Oilam. It is the renewal, it is the birth of the world, and the world was destroyed, and the only survivors were Noach and his children. And from Noach came Avraham, 10 generations later, and from Avraham, ki b'Yitzchak yikaru l'chazara. So if you look at the big picture of the Nusach HaTfilah, the big picture, it's Noach and Avraham. And obviously this has to be developed much more, but just to give you the raw yesoid of this drush, the skeleton of the skeleton of the Nusach HaTfilah on Rosh Hashanah are these two Ishei HaTanach, Noach and Avram. Devash equals Noach and Avram. Because the gematria of Noach and Avram is Devash. What's the significance? I leave that for you to think about. But it's definitely not just the gematria. There's something over here which really touches upon the essence of the Tfilah of and the Yoyin, the day of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, next. Another thing that I found to be very cute, another cute gematria, even though I'm not a big fan of gematrias, as we said, the gematria plus guf of the body. What are we mispalel for on Rosh Hashanah? Our bodies, chayim, zochreinu lechayim melech chofetz b'chayim. We mispalel that our bodies should remain alive. What kind of life do we want? We want a sweet life, a shana toiva umasuka. The gematria of guf plus devash equals the gematria of neshama. So when we're taking the bread, let's expand upon this. Hiloy al halechem levado yichyeh ha'adar. You don't live on bread alone, but that's the basic thing. My process, Yalpi Hashem Yichyeh Adam, but the basic staple of life really indeed is lechem. But what kind of life do we want? A sweet life. So you take the bread and you dip the bread which is the guf, which represents your life in Devash, and what will that give you? Neshama. Because what you really want in this world, a life that's sweet, is a life where the neshama has sipuk, has satisfaction. So that's an interesting idea, it has to be developed, but it is definitely something very, very interesting. Honey has the koyach, this is true in the world of halacha, to be mahapich, to transform. We discussed yesterday that honey has the koyach to preserve. If you put something large, a large piece of meat, a large piece of bread, in honey, honey will preserve the object that is surrounded, that is enclosed in honey. That, so we discussed yesterday that we dip in honey because we want our lives to be preserved. If you put small little things in honey, it has the ability to transform it. There's a chemical reaction which causes things to actually be transformed into honey itself. It takes on the identity of honey. I don't know how this works. If you have a taruv, I'll give you an example. If you have a sheretz, and a sheretz falls into soup, you got a big problem. You have a sheretz and you have soup, you have to bittel, is it bittel, is it not bittel, is it beria, all different questions. If a sheretz falls into honey, the rules are much more lenient. I'm not going into all the details, because honey has the power not just to negate. Honey actually takes foreign matter and is mahapik and transforms it into honey itself. The transformation process, the chemical change that an object that is foreign to honey undergoes is much greater than the chemical change that a foreign object undergoes when it falls into a matter other than honey. Therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, we dip food in honey as a way of as a siman, as an omen, that our sins should be transformed into merits. We try to transform the Midas Hadin into Midas Harachim. We go for transformation. Okay, next idea. Now, besides the meaning of eating sweet things, to eat the various simonim, there's also among some a meaning not to eat things which are sharp, which pickles and eat chrein, things like that. That's not accepted by all of the poskim. The Marame Rattenberg did not hold of this minik. He did not refrain from eating chrein and things that are very, very sharp. You just something to keep in mind that there are different minhagim. If there's definitely a minik to do things in a positive form. Does the concept of simonim also extend to the negative things that should not be done? I'll give you another example. This is brought down in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says you should not eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. Did anyone hear of this? This appears to be accepted. It's in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, Al Pisod, you're not supposed to eat grapes. Grape juice you could drink, but not grapes. Don't serve for dessert on Rosh Hashanah grapes. Why not? He doesn't tell us the reason, just Al Pisod. The reason someone told me, explained the various safarim, is because the grapes in the world of Halach and Kabbalah represent Gevura, represent Din. Every fruit has a certain type of Kabbalistic representation, and grapes represent din, judgment. You don't want to compound din with din. Just like there's a custom that you don't say Tehillim at night, you don't learn Tanakh at night until Chatzos, because at night time is a time of judgment, and learning the Tanakh represents din. You don't want to compound din with din. You don't fall tachnon at night. Chassidim do not say tachnon because they daven mincha late and the tefillah goes into the evening. And when you say tachnon, what?
They don't say shachas.
They don't say shachas. Okay, that's not so simple. That is no excuse for. But mincha, they have a good excuse. Yeah, they do have a good excuse because the mincha, they daven mincha at the very end of the day, which is there's plenty of sources that is ideal to daven mincha the very last moment of the day, and the mail of the mincha connects into the night. And when you come into the night, tonight time is a time of judgment, and you don't want to compound judgment with judgment, as if our tachman is such tifa kavanis that it really makes a difference. It's a whole thing anyway.
I'm going to eat grapes because I want to make sure I have a good judgment.
That's not good. That's that you bring upon yourself. You want to stay away from judgment. But this is something. This minog is a little bit more serious. It's brought down in many more sources, even to the point where the Mishnah Berurah shies away. The Chafetz Chaim, as you heard today, he's not into these things. It's very clear from his writings. He's not into all these hocus pocus, Kabbalistic inyanim. But yet, there are certain things that he does quote. He does quote, he does mention, and things that he mentions, obviously, by him, were very serious customs. And this he does mention. Not to eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah, al pi sod, the explanation given, it represents the concept of din. Okay, next. Now let's discuss a bit. Let's discuss an apple. We did not discuss this yet. The custom to dip the apple in the honey. What is this? The tapuach, this apple. So first of all, the apple represents the esrog, because the esrog and the apple are interchangeable. I'm not exactly sure how this works, but when we eat apples, according to some opinions, it's just a moshul for the esrog, and if we go a little bit further, Chazal, the Rosh Hashanah is the day of creation. It's the day when Adam was created, and it was the day when Adam originally ate from the Eitz Hadas. What was the Eitz Hadas? That's yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, was it a Geffen, was it a Te'ena, was it a Chita? The Gemara only presents three opinions. Geffen, Te'ena, and Rima. But there are more opinions in the Chazal, in Midrashim, and according to one opinion, it was a Tapuach, it was an Esrog. And therefore, when we eat the apple on Rosh Hashanah, what we're really, isn't that the, that's what the game where they show the pictures of Adam and Eve eating an apple? Because in Achnam, it's a Medrash. He ate a Tapuach. Tapuach is not really an apple, really it's an Esrog. But being that the words Tapuach and Esrog are interchanged in Chazal, we eat an apple as a moshul for the Esrog that Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz, from the Gan, which was Shaloi Kedin. So we're reminding ourselves of Adam's sin, and we're reminding ourselves that we have to do tshuva for this terrible sin. And we dip it in Dvash as a way of saying that the sin of Adam should be forgiven, and it should be sweetened, and all of whatever comes along with that idea. But Esrog, our Esrogim are bitter. It's not necessarily the way the Esrogim were from originally. A lot of things have changed over time. But it's something, an idea to keep in mind. The apple really represents the concept of an Esrog. Okay, another idea. The Gemara says, this I actually like this idea, that on the Mizbeach there was a pyre on the Mizbeach. What's a pyre called in Hebrew? The pyre on the Mizbeach? Tapuach. It's all over in Chazal. Tapuach. There was a large mound on the Mizbeach of ash, that they would sweep it up every morning. They would remove the Tumas Hadeshen, and then they would arrange, they would sweep up all the ash and pile into a nice mound, like a pitcher's mound, a nice mound on top of the Mizbeach. It would be piled, and then when it got out of hand, it would be removed. That is called the Tapuach. We eat the...
They get out of what?
What? When they run out of space, then they would cart away the ash from the center of the Mizbeach outside the Mizbeach. But it was called a tapuach. This tapuach, an apple, is also called a tapuach. Very interesting. I'm saying, what's the significance? I do not know. But obviously, there must be some significance. In Hebrew, there's no such thing as a coincidence where two words, the two letters, mean exactly the same thing. So the one in tapuach means an apple. It also means the mound of ash. What do we say now, davening all the time? One of the major themes of the Nusach of Rosh Hashanah is Akedas Yitzchak. But never happened Akedas Yitzchak. And what is the equivalent of Akedas Yitzchak? The Efer Shel Ayil. Avraham Avinu, he replaced Yitzchak with an ayil, and Chazal tell us in many places that the ether, the ash of that ayil, is tapuach lefanav. It's sovor, it is piled before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem always sees that ash, and that serves as a constant reminder and zuchus for Klal Yisrael. A pile of ash is called a tapuach. So when we eat the ash, we eat the apple, the tapuach, and we dip it in honey, in essence, it is a sin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember the ultimate tapuach of the Elo Shel Yitzchak, that Sovel Lefanov, and it should be a sweet zechus for us in Shemayim. Hashem should have rachman. That's a nice idea. That's a new idea. I don't think they hear that idea too often. Okay, let's go to another example. The Gemara tells us, this is a little bit off the beaten track. The Gemara tells us that tapuach, and I don't know what this Gemara is, maybe gidden, all the different types of foods. We have a little bit of this in today's daf, yesterday's daf, all different types of foods which serve are healthy, which serve as a refuah for the body. And the Gemara lists the tapuach is very good for stomach disease. Choylei me'ayim. It's good, it's healthy. I do not know what doctors, modern doctors... Yeah?
Softens the bowel.
So that's... So the Gemara already says, Tapuachi refuah l'chol mayayim. Now we're not finished. Now. And the Gemara also says, why does a person suffer? So of course, the doctor will tell you the reason why you have problems in your stomach is because you have a good diet, because you smoke, because you drink, because you do this, you do that, all the different things that you should not be doing. But Chazal tell us there are spiritual reasons why a person has pain in his stomach. Gaiva causes choylei nayayim. So what are we doing in Rosh Hashanah? The most important need that to focus on in Rosh Hashanah is anava. It's hinni he'oni. What is the first thing the Baal Tefillah says? The shatz. Hinni he'oni mimas. Anava. A person is humble, he's okay. He's safe. So being that choylei tapuach, it's a very interesting chain. Tapuach is a refuah for choylei me'ayim. Why does a person suffer? Choylei me'ayim. It's not because he doesn't have a good diet. It's because of gaiva. Me'ela, the tapuach, reminding ourselves on Rosh Hashanah at night, the most important thing in order to survive the Yom Hadin, anava. Me'oid, me'oid, have shefal ruach. I once heard of art that every midah a person should always go the middle road. Always be in the middle. Don't go to the left, don't go to the right. Always stay, choose for yourself the middle. One exception, humility. Humility, don't be a moderate. Don't be a moderate. Don't be an extremist when it comes to humility. Me'oid, me'oid, heve shefal ruach. It's the only place where Chazal advised a person to steer off the middle road and go to the extreme. Next, you want to say something?
No, I was just thinking, it's interesting, yesterday you were discussing about the Haredis.
Yeah, so, there is no middle road. Polarization.
Better to be centrist. And,
better to be a centrist, yeah.
You just said.
Yeah.
And be Haredi.
Yeah. I don't quote me on anything. I don't want to get into trouble. Okay, let's go to the next idea. Okay, then there's a concept which I don't know this. The only reason why I'm saying is because those of you who are fortunate to attend a Shal Shilis, which is a beautiful thing every Shabbos, and you say Askinu Sudasa, either you say it Friday night or Shabbos morning. So I don't know what those words mean. Lately, there've been a lot of nice new things have come out of giving permission on these are type of Kabbalistic Zohars. But if you look very carefully in those nuschos, Askinu Sudasa talks about the Chakal Tapuchim. The orchard of apples.
Say that
Friday night and Shabbos day and by Shalosh Shulis. So if you know what you're saying, you're talking these Kabbalistic in Yana, you say Kagavna, Bruch Shmei, we say a lot of Kabbalah and Davening, we don't know what we're saying. I don't know what I'm saying, I have no idea. But there's this concept in the Suda Shabbos called the Chakal Tapuchim. It represents this orchard of apples somehow, some way, some form, some station. It represents the Shechina. It represents the Shechina. It's a very Kabbalistic concept. And therefore, in Rosh Hashanah, we eat apples. We don't just say, Askinu, Sudasa, Dimhimnu, Husa. And then we go, we mention all these things about the Chakal Tapuchin. We don't just say it. On Rosh Hashanah, we go up a few notches. We eat it. We eat the apples. Okay, so just think about like the Living Torah Museum. It's not just theoretical. It's an actual Rosh Hashanah. So higher Madreka, you actually eat what you say in the Askinu Sudasa. There's a discussion. There's a big discussion of when should you dip the apple in the honey. Different minhagim. Some people, I think most people, have the minute they dip the apple in the honey before you wash. After you say Kiddush, is that correct? That what you do? Yeah. You wash, or you recite Kiddush, and after you recite Kiddush, before you wash, you dip the apple in the honey and you make a bari priyot. So I don't know if anyone does that. That's something. I don't know. Different talking. All right, you know, the discussion. Fine, different right now.
What's the other method?
afterwards. It's dvarim the habayim. You have to also make a bracha. You have to have kavanu after you wash and fruit. You have to make a special bracha. It's dvarim habayim. It's not part. It's not exempt from the hamaitzi. And you make a borei pri ho'etz, and you dip the apple in the honey, and then you say the hiratzon. When do you see the hiratzon? So you should say the hiratzon l'chayra before you make the borei pri ho'etz.
If you did it before, wouldn't it be a hafzik?
In between.
Yeah.
That's today's daf. Tol baruch. Not necessarily. It's not necessarily a hefsek to make the bracha borei pro eitz and then say the yiratzon and eat the apple. Not necessarily. However, the minhag ha'olam is not to be mafsek between the eating, the bracha and the eating with the yiratzon. You say the yiratzon before you make the bracha. Okay, now here's another idea which I find to be very interesting. This is the famous Gemara. The Gemara talks about an Esra, but talks about a Tapuach. The actual word of the Gemara is Tapuach. That Shavuos, Klal Yisrael is compared to Tachas HaTapuach Orarticha. Underneath the Tapuach, I have aroused. A pasuk in Shir Hashirim, under the Tapuach I have aroused you. There's a medrash, there are multiple medrashim that discuss this idea that Klal Yisrael is compared to a Tapuach. Now, what is a Tapuach? A Tapuach is an Esrog. And as I said, the word Tapuach and Esrog in Chazal are interchanged. It's not practical for us to eat Esrogim. Because they're very expensive, they don't exist, and we have a hard enough time getting an esrog for sukkahs. So we use an apple, but an apple somehow is related or is a cousin or a twin of the esrog. But really, when you're eating the apple, you really are referring to an esrog. And Chazal tells about this tapuach / esrog. What is its myla? Its leaves precede its fruit. Now, what does that mean? An esrog tree, the leaves last from year to year. The leaves do not wither and fall off. A regular tree comes fall, the leaves fall off, the tree is bare, and next year you start all over again, you have branches, and you start with leaves, you have buds, you have fruit, you have leaves. The esrog, the fruit falls off, but the leaves remain. And that means the following year, the leaves have preceded the fruit. Normally the bud, the fruit comes, on a regular tree, the fruit comes first, and after the fruit begins to develop, then the leaves follow. On an esrog tree, being that the leaves remain from year to year, the leaves will precede the fruit of the following year. And Chazal compare the leaves to nisim, and the fruit to understanding. And Chazal used, and I'm telling you, this is not a Jewish, this is a Chazal, that represents the concept of naseh v'nishma. Klal Yisrael Matan Torah said naseh before they said nishma, we will do before we understand. That is the very greatest ma'ilah of Klal Yisrael, shegdimu naseh l'nishma, just like the tapuach. The tapuach, its olim, its leaves precede its fruit, the meisim precede the understanding. So what are we doing on Rosh Hashanah? We're eating the tapuach. We're eating the tapuach. What we're trying to evoke is Hashem, remember the zuchus of Naaseh v'Nishma. Rosh Hashanah in some way and form is connected to Matan Torah. The zuchus. One of the reasons why we blow shofar, the Sadi Gaon says, is to bring out the zechus of Matan Torah. The kol shofar lo yosef. What does the Medrash say about Matan Torah? Naseh v'nishma. Just like the tapuach. Tapuach olin kodim l'pirio. The leaves come before the fruit. Therefore, Klal is also, they said naseh kodim l'nishma. So just like we blow the next day shofar, we eat an apple in order to awaken the zechus of naseh v'nishma. Okay, next idea. Now this idea I really like. This is really good. This is a good one. Possibly mentioned before, let's take a step back. Why do we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Many reasons. Sadly, going has 10 reasons. One of the main reasons is wake up. Hikitsu yishenim mishinaschem. You people who are sleeping, wake up. It's a wake-up call. Shofar is a loud, penetrating sound. Wake up from your slumber and do tshuva and come close to HaKadosh Baruch. That is what the Kol Shofar is all about. It says in Shir HaShirim, Tachas HaTapuach Orar Ticha. Underneath the apple tree, I aroused you. I woke you up. Hashem says, and this refers to the different midrashim, what this refers to in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina came, Moshe Rabbeinu came. But all we need to know is the pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu woke us up, He aroused us. He sent Moshe Rabbeinu in Mitzrayim to awaken us, to arouse us to come out of Mitzrayim, to become to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Am HaNivchar. The Tapuach is associated with waking up. Orar Ticha, arousal. Correct? What is the shofar? The shofar is wake up. Wake up. Oru yishenim mishinaschem. Wake up. Dvash. This is the Gemara. The Gemara says, what is the koyach of dvash? A person is suffering from a disease called bulimus. Bulimus simply means starvation. But it's more than starvation. It means when the person already has lost sight. His senses, he has reached a level of starvation and sickness where he can no longer see. The Gemara says he should feed him devash. Devash has the koyach to give light to the eyes, to drag a person out of this semi-conscious state of bulimus. It gives light to the eyes. We dip the apple in the honey because the apple represents waking up. Tachas hatapuach orar ticha. Devash is explicit in the Gemara. Devash is the koyach to awaken. This combination is a potent combination that can wake us up out of our slumber lack of awareness of Kadosh Baruch Hu, to come close to the truth of Kadosh Baruch Hu, to prepare ourselves for the Yom Hadin. Just like we listen to the shofar to wake ourselves up, we do something else. We combine the two things, the two foods, which have the ability or are associated with arousal to wake ourselves out of our slumber. Okay, another idea is, this is also a very interesting idea. Well, this is a Kabbalistic idea. This is Zohar. The Zohar, it's explicit. Zohar goes through the letters of the Aleph base. And he describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he wanted to create the world, different letters presented themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, use me as the matter from which the world, the foundation of the world, will be established. I'm sure you've heard these different midrashim over time. After everything was said and done, which letter was the letter that Hashem used to make the world a base? Ki b'ko Hashem, or the Yud and the Hey, Bereshis, or Yud Kei, b'ko Hashem, Solamim. Part of the Medrash says there were three letters that were thoroughly rejected. Only three letters were totally, thoroughly rejected. What it means is not for now. The letter Tav, the letter Pei, and the letter Ches. These letters had no chance. To what? Tav, Pei, Ches.
Tapuach.
Yeah. Exactly. What is Rosh Hashanah? This is Zohar. What it means, I don't know. It's a Zohar. And what is Rosh Hashanah? Hayoyim Hara Asalam. The day when the world was created. Adam was created, but it represents the climax of creation. The letters that were completely rejected in creation was Tapuach. Tav, Pei, Ches. Therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, Kaviyachol de Mekatreg, destroy the world, because the world is not. We take those letters in the form of an apple, the Tapuach, we dip it in honey. We attempt to sweeten the severity that was handed down to the Tapuach, and it should serve as somehow a Kabbalistic sechus that the world should continue to exist. Okay. What other ideas? Other thing I like very much is Tapuach represents Dvash. We say every day in davening, Chanein, listen to us in Ashkenaz, Chanein Mietcha, Deya, Bina, Tahaskel. What is Deya? Dalit, Bina, Beis, Seichel, Sin. What does that spell? Dvash. The first thing that we ask for when we spell Hashem is Seichel. Person who's smart, everything is, you'll survive. If you're smart, you'll get through the worst. What we mevakesh Rosh Hashanah, take the Tapuach, represents the Tapuach. What it represents, I'm not sure. Whatever, but you dip you dip the tapuch in dvash, or you eat dvash alone, or you dip the bread in dvash. Everything centers on dvash. Because the ikar is, choneinu me'iticha deya bina v'haska. Just like the first request we make in the Shemona Esrei, the 13 requests is to have seichel, because if you have seichel, you'll be able to make proper decisions and coming closer to the Shparuch Hu. If you only give us one thing, give us Chaneinu Me'itcha Deya Bina V'Haskel. That's why we focus so much on Tvash. That's a good, that's pretty good Drush. Okay, the next, I'm running out of things, almost finished. Okay, the Ben Yishchai says, why an apple? I don't really know, this is just throwing this out very quick. Why an apple has 3 milas? Has tam, taste, has mare, looks nice, and reyach, fragrance. At least an eshrog has these 3 things. But the tapuach, the representative of the eshrog, tam, there are 3 essential things a person needs to survive in this world. The Gemara says this, bini chaye mzoni, children, parnasa, and life. And the Gemara in fact says, these are mazel, so we take an item that's mishulash. A tapuach is mishulash. So we mispalel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant us the 3 basic ingredients of life. Bini, healthy, successful children. Chaye, healthy, stable life. And mizoine, parnasa. And ein kemach, ein Torah. If there's no parnasa, then there's nothing. Okay, next. We have a minog of a roish keves. Anyone do this? Anyone have on their table a head of a sheep? There are people that do this, but there are people. Why? Roish keves is zecher for the Akedah, the Eila Yitzchak. I saw an incredible idea that where does this come from, this minog? So it's brought down different old swarm, but they want to bring a riot that it's a pasuk in the Torah. Yaakov said about to his wives when he complained, he said to Lavan, Yaakov said to Lavan, Eile tzoncha lo yachalti. I did not take from you, Lavan, 1 red cent. Everything that I took was my own. Even the simonim for Rosh Hashanah night, when you put on the head, the ayil, the Rosh Keves is a zecher. Really, you should have a Rosh ayil of a ram, but you can't do that today. You gotta go to jail if you have a Rosh ayil on your head. But really, you should have the Rosh ayil on your head. Even Yaakov Avinu followed this custom. Eilei tzayin choleichalti on the night of Rosh Hashanah, so that he interprets this pasuk, he had the Eilei Roshcha. Okay, we don't actually use Eilei, we use fish. Right, fish head, that's the next best representative. Why dog? Because dog, first of all, it's a head, so Rosh. Chalein lezanov, fish have the mile, it's potim v'dom, they multiply very quickly, there's no ayin hara, their eyes are never closed. Hashem hinei lo yonum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. All the different things that are associated with eating fish Friday night are associated with the Rosh dog on the night of Rosh Hashanah. It's interesting that not everyone has this minuk. There are those that bedavka will not eat fish on Rosh Hashanah. You ever hear this? Why? Because siman inilsa. And dog comes from the word daga. Worry comes from the shayrish of dog. To worry. And one thing you don't want daigas. You don't want daigas can drag you down all the way, no matter how successful. If you have daigas, it takes away the whole spark of life. And mela, simona milsa. You don't want daigas. So you don't have dogim on the night of Rosh Hashanah. Let's put that. It's on that tongue. I have this neck. Okay, so I pretty much think that I've told you over everything which I was able to figure out in this sefer for simona milsa. So we'll stop with this. Simona milsa. And we'll pick this up in Menagam tomorrow.